I appreciate Matthew reading that scripture, and I asked him to read that passage as an intro because it really frames what we're talking about today as we continue on in our series, Worship Through Stewardship. Last week, we talked about the stewardship of our time and how that is an act of worship, just like anything else that we do that is a specific or concentrated aspect of our worship. And this week, we're going to be talking about the stewardship of our talents. And obviously, that passage that was read dealing with talents, that was dealing with specific money. It was, you know, the context of that was literal money that was entrusted to the servants by the master. And we're not talking about specific money today. That's not what is meant by talents. The specific discussion about money and our giving and stewardship of our financial resources will be next week. But the concept of the talents and the servants in that passage certainly apply to the type of talents that we're used to and that we're talking about today. The talents in terms of abilities and skills and gifting. That certainly is something that I hope you were able to capture from the passage that was read, which was probably a familiar passage to many of you. The idea is that what was given, with what was given, there is responsibility and there is expectation that what is given will be used for the master's purpose, for his own will, not that of the servants. And it's to further the master's plans, to further his purpose and his impact and his reach. And that certainly applies to our talents. Talents are God-given. They are completely God-given. And they are either specific talents directly that are given, or they are the ability that's given to develop certain talents as we go through life. We either have something that's just given to us at birth, and we're kind of infused by God with a specific ability, or we have been given the aptitude and the ability to develop skills and abilities as we grow and go through different experiences. But either way, it's God-given. All of our talents are given by God, and that is something that's true of both saved and unsaved alike. The unsaved may not ever acknowledge that the talents they have are God-given, but that doesn't mean they're not God-given. And this is where we see common grace, where God gives talents to every human being, whether they know him and acknowledge him or not. They're all God-given. But unfortunately, the way a lot of people think about their talents is similar to those really annoying seagulls in the Finding Nemo movie, right? Mine, 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 mine. And or maybe like Smeagol in The Lord of the Rings, you know, it's mine, my own, my precious. That's how a lot of people relate to talents. It's like it's this thing that is theirs to do with what they want. Nobody can tell them what to do with their talent or how they should be using it. It's up to, you know, it's up to me how I use it or if I use it at all, and I control it. I'm kind of the master of my fate. I'm the master of my abilities. That's how a lot of people think about talents or gifting. But the truth about talents is this. Our talents have been entrusted to us, but they don't belong to us. Our talents have been entrusted, and I would emphasize that, entrusted. When you that the concept behind entrust is really loan. It's I'm giving this to you, but I'm not ceding ownership. I'm loaning this to you. I'm trusting that you will take care of this that I'm placing in your hands. Our talents have been entrusted to us by God, but they don't belong to us. He retains ownership of the talents that he gave us. And by extension, it means that that God gave us talents to use for His glory, not ours, and for the good of others. God gave us talents to use for His glory and for the good of others, not for our glory and not to further our own agenda or carry out our own personal little vision of our own empire that we want to construct. Scripture reinforces these realities about talent, and I want to draw your attention to Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. And this is not a passage that we often refer to, and this is not something that you probably have spent a whole lot of time in or contemplating, but I want you to see the connection with this passage and what I said at the beginning, that our talents have been entrusted to us and that God gave us our talents to use for His glory and for the good of others. Both of these passages will show us that, so that you see it's not just my opinion. Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. And the context of this is the tabernacle is being constructed. God has instructed Moses to construct the tabernacle, and He's given very specific instructions and patterns on how that's to go. That's the context of this. And here's what God's Word says. Verse 1, Exodus 31. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship." In other words, talents. I have given Bezalel very specific talents. I have entrusted to him very specific talents. For what purpose? For what aim? What's the goal of Bezalel's God-given talents? Verse 4, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. Verse 6, and behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability, talents, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Bezalel and Aholiab and all the other guys with them, you know, maybe they didn't think that they had anything really that special to offer. Maybe they were looking at Moses or Aaron or Joshua, Moses' assistant, and maybe they were tempted to think, well, what do I have to offer? I mean, all I can do is, the only skills I have are cutting stone and carving wood, and, you know, I think I do a pretty good job, but what is that in the grand scheme of things? I mean, I'm no Moses. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what they thought, maybe that's what they felt. Maybe they didn't feel like they had that much to contribute or offer to Israel or to God's kingdom and to God's plan. But here is God saying to Moses, I have given these men these specific talents and gifts and abilities because I want to use them in the construction of my place of worship. Isn't that great? I mean, how wonderful is that? And maybe you're here today and all your life you have felt maybe a little inferior to others around you, specifically in the context of the body of Christ, specifically in the context of church. You know, maybe you think, well, what do I really have to offer, right? How can I really make an impact? How can I really serve? I mean, I can't get up and speak. I can't preach a sermon. I can't really teach a class. I can't direct music and worship. I can't sing well. And maybe you focus on all the I can'ts rather than thinking about what you can do and what God has given you and enabled you to do and entrusted you to do. So many times we focus on what we can't do rather than what we can and what we should be doing with what we've been given. There are so many of you who have really amazing talents and abilities. I mean, you would identify more with Bezalel or with Aholiab than you would with Moses or Aaron. And that's okay, because obviously we see here that God needs Bezalels, and he needs Aholiabs. He needs men and women that have physical skills and abilities and are able to work with their hands or work with their minds. They're able to do things that maybe aren't as flashy or public or obvious or upfront, but are still absolutely essential and beautiful because they are used for God. So I don't know what your talent may be, but I do know that you have one. And I know that God has entrusted to you whatever your talent is. He's given it to you on purpose for his purpose. And we need to keep that in mind and believe that. Psalm 115:1 is another passage I want you to look at. And this is still connected to those truths that I gave you just a minute ago. Our talents have been entrusted to us, but they don't belong to us. They're not for our glory. God gave us the talents that he did to use for his glory and for the good of others. Psalm 115:1 says this, and we sang this actually just a little while ago. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, or let there be glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. In other words, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. Whatever talents we've been given, they're for God's glory. They're to use for his glory. They're to further his purpose. And they're to impact others around us. They're to build up the body. They're to build up and enhance the kingdom of our Savior. Not to us, not to us, but to your name give glory. Oh, may that be on our hearts. May that be the cry of our hearts. May that be our mindset. May that be how we view our talents. That we don't seek to get glory, that we're not trying to make our name great through our talents, but may it be that we want to make God's name great, and we do all that we can to see that done. Now, maybe you don't relate to having the wrong mindset in thinking that you own your talents or that they're all about you. Maybe that's not your struggle. Great. Good. I hope it's not. But my guess is if that's not how you think, if that's not part of your mindset, then my guess is that many of you can relate to this anonymous author's quote about talent. This is how one person thought about talent. He said this, "I have lots of hidden talents. The problem is, even I can't find them." Maybe you can relate to that. If you can't relate to the struggle of pride about your talents and thinking that they're all yours to do with what you want, maybe you can identify with this one. You know, and we talk about hidden talents, and that's part of what's neat about getting to know people. You know, as you develop relationships with people, you get to know them, you start seeing hidden talents maybe that people have that you didn't see at first, the longer you're around them, right? And maybe this is how you feel. Like, yeah, my hidden talents are hidden pretty good because I've never been able to find them yet. You may have no idea what your talent is. And that's okay. You may be convinced that you simply don't have any talents at all. But let me assure you, you do. I absolutely guarantee that you do. And it's very possible that you have more than one. I know for a fact that that's the case with many of you. I've been around here long enough now to get to know many of you, and I've seen the talents that you have. And many of you are incredibly talented people. With multiple talents. And if you haven't discovered what your talent is, it's okay. You still have time. You're still breathing. You're still alive. You still have time to find that out. And the best way to find out what your talents are is simply by stepping out and actually trying different things. That's the best way, is just try different things in life. Try your hand at this or that. Step into this opportunity or this possibility. In the context of church, try different ministries. There are several to choose from. And you don't have to immediately connect with one and just say, oh, well, I guess I don't have any talent because I didn't connect in that particular area of ministry or service. No, there's others out there. So the good strategy to employ in trying to find out your talents is actually just go and try different areas and see what connects and what clicks and what you kind of identify with and what you might thrive in and what you will flourish in and what fulfills you. That's a really good way of finding out your talents. And as you do that, as you do step out and try this or that and see what your talents might be used for or how they might come alive in you as you're trying this thing, this area, please, don't feel like your talent has to be similar to everyone else's. Don't do that. Don't get into that trap. And don't feel like that if it's not similar to other people's talents that you observe, if it's not the same as theirs, don't feel like that means you don't have anything to contribute. Sometimes we have to learn that the hard way, that our talents don't have to mirror everyone else's. And if my talent isn't the same as someone else's over here, oh, I guess it's not really that great of a talent and I don't have anything to contribute. That's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. I had to learn that early. In second grade, I went to Greater Beckley Christian. And so second grade, we were over across the road where the elementary is still. That's where the elementary was then too. And we had weekly chapel, which they still do. And in my particular class, I had a lot of talented kids. I had Becca Anderson. Some of you will remember her name. She grew up in the church here for a while, I think. Maybe not. I can't remember. But you certainly would have known her talent abilities with all the different fine arts competitions that she was in and the various programs the school had. I mean, she played the violin, and we had, I had Amanda Cottle and Jessica Talent. You definitely know that name. The talent level was just, it was really disgusting in our class. It was just not fair. It was crazy. And so here's all these child prodigies, you know, playing all these instruments, cello, violin, flute, piano. And so they all had the ability to contribute to the chapel services. Like there was a sign-up sheet, and you wrote your name and what your talent or what your instrument was and the date that was available for you to play in chapel or take part in the chapel service. There were all these names on lists. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to write my name down. And so the teacher, Kathy Schaefer, many of you know that name too, she would ask, okay, so what is your instrument or what is your talent that you want to use for the Lord? And she would spend time teaching this concept that we're talking about today, that whatever talent you have, you're to use it for God, for His glory. And so she would ask, what is your talent that you want to use for God and to bless the chapel? And she would ask. And so they would say, oh, I'm going to play the violin, or I'm going to play piano. I've got a solo I want to play, or I'm going to sing a solo. And so it came to me, and she said, so what is your talent? What are you going to do? And I said, it's a secret. I said, you're going to have to wait to find out. So Kathy Schaefer, bless her heart, she exhibited grace, and she said, okay. And so it came time, my day, my time for chapel. And it came down to the moment. The anticipation was thick. And I came up to the stage, and Mrs. Schaefer says, Chris, where's your instrument? What are you going to use? And I reach into my pocket, and I pulled out my kazoo. Yes, my prized kazoo. And I put it to my lips, and I did Jesus Loves Me. And apparently I made quite the impact, because everyone was overcome with the joy of the Lord in endless laughter. And my little second grade heart was absolutely crushed and devastated. I ran off the stage, probably crying, and Mrs. Schaefer was doing her best to try to console me in the midst of her laughter. So it was quite the disaster. Made quite the impression, though. But what I had to learn early on is that I didn't have to have the same talent as all those other people did. It was just a matter of finding the talent that God had given me, and that it was okay that it was different, and that God was going to use me in the way he wanted. I just needed to trust him and to follow him and not try to be like everybody else and a cookie cutter of all those other talents. And that's something that everybody needs to learn, and I would encourage you to keep that in mind too. Talent isn't a one-size-fits-all thing. And isn't that good that it's not? I mean, just as God created our world with variety and uniqueness, which he did, I mean, look at the world around us. It's an expression of artistry. There's so much creativity and uniqueness in our world. And just as God did that with his creation, he takes the same approach with our talents and our gifts. And I think that's really encouraging, really good news. Here's what Scripture says about that. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Look at that with me. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. And you're going to see this concept that God takes the approach of creativity and variety and uniqueness with our talents and our gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. God's word says this. Now, there are varieties of gifts. Varieties of gifts or talents. But the same Spirit, capital S, that's God the Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Isn't that magnificent? See, God doesn't assign inferior or insignificant talents. There's no such thing as an inferior talent or an insignificant one. God doesn't make junk, is another way of saying it. So whatever talent God has given you, it is unique and it's hand-picked for you to use for his glory and for the good of others. And it's not inferior to anyone else. Let me also have you look just a little bit further in the passage, verse 12, still in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12, Paul says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit," again the Holy Spirit, "we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For," this is verse 14, "for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, Where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged. That's intentional, purposeful. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And that's a beautiful thing. There's harmony in the diversity, and that's how God intended it. A really, really obvious practical example is what you see taking place up here every Sunday morning. You have people playing different instruments, right? But they're all playing the same song. They're all playing the same piece of music. And one thing that Matthew is very intentional about doing, and I appreciate this about him so much, is he looks for opportunities and he's eager to give people that play specific instruments a role up here in glorifying God through their talent and through their gift and through what they are able to do to enhance the worship and to lead you into worship of God. He is able to provide music for just about any instrument out there. Almost, right? I mean, there might be some exceptions, but no kazoo. No kazoo. But I know for a fact he could provide music for ukulele and other instruments that maybe you wouldn't think of seeing or hearing up here. And the point of what happens up here with Matthew leading and all the musicians, it is not for them to get glory. It's not so that we would sit out here and say, my, how talented they are. And yes, they are. But it's not for us to sit back here and think, man, can Brad play that bass? Which he can. But that's not the purpose. And that's not what Brad wants or anyone else wants. What they want is, wow, how great it was that we were able to sing and praise God together. How great it was that we were able to lift our voices, and how wonderful it is to have musicians up here using their talents for the glory of God. That's the heart behind it all. And that's why you see such a diverse representation of musicians and instruments being used here. It's really this. It's a picture of what 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about. It would be pretty sad indeed if it was just someone up here every single week, just a voice with no instruments, or if it was just instrumental music all the time and no one singing, or if it was just one type of instrument and nothing else. I mean, could God use that? Yes, but my, what we would miss out on. And so the same applies to all the various ministries of the church. It's something that all of you need to be able to feel free to participate in, and that's what God intends. He's given you a very specific skill set. He's given you specific talents that he wants you to use for his glory and for the good of everyone else, for the building up of the body. So if you're not doing that, please do so. Please do so. Here's the practical application of all that. 1 Peter 4:10-11. 1 Peter 4:10-11. This is the practical application of all that we've read, specifically of the 1 Corinthians 12 passage. God's word says this: as each has received a gift, don't miss that. Each has received a gift. It's fact. You have been gifted. You have talent. As each has received a gift, here's what we do with it. Here's the practical. Use it to serve one another as good stewards. Talking about stewardship, worship through stewardship. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that, or for the purpose of, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to thank you all of you who do serve and who do contribute, who do participate in one way or another. Those of you who use your talents and gifts every single week faithfully here in this body, thank you so much. I do not take that lightly or underestimate that. And more importantly, God doesn't. He sees you. He sees what you're doing for his glory, for his kingdom, his body. We see it too. For those who are out there greeting people as they come in and handing them a bulletin, for those that are preparing the coffee each week and getting all of that ready, for those that are behind the welcome desk, for those that are downstairs at the check-in counter and the nursery and the children's classes and children's church time, for those that pass out the plate to receive the gifts and the offerings, for those up here that I mentioned a minute ago, and all on and on I could go back there in the booth every single week, running the projection and the sound. Thank you. Thank you so much for serving this body, for serving our Lord, for using the talents and gifts you have. And it doesn't, it's not limited to Sunday morning. For those of you who use your talent or your ability out there in the community to help others, to enhance people's lives, to bring joy to people, knowing that as you're bringing joy to them, you're bringing joy to God and to his heart. Thank you. Don't get discouraged. Don't be weary in that. Don't give up. Keep on. And I want to just finish with this question. What is your talent? What is your talent? If you don't know, find out. Go to God with that. Say, God, I believe you've given me a talent. I don't really know what it is, but I want to. Would you please reveal to me the talent and the gifts that you've given me so that I can use them for your glory? Pray about that. And if you know what your talent is, but maybe you're not really doing anything with it, well, then with all the love and the grace I can, I have to tell you, you identify, unfortunately, with that lazy, slothful servant in Matthew 25 that Matthew read at the beginning. And that's not what God wants for you. That's not why he gave you a talent. It's not, he didn't give you a talent so that you would bury it and not use it. Benjamin Franklin actually said, "Hide not your talent. What use is a sundial in the shade?" Don't waste your talent. Don't hide it. Use it. Pray about how you can use it for God's glory and for the good of others. That's the purpose of it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you do and all that you accomplish, for all that you bring about. Thank you for entrusting to us various talents and gifts, all so that we can use it for your glory, to make your name known, and that we can impact and enhance other people's lives for the good of other people. May we not be selfish with our talents, and may we not be lazy with them either. May we be willing and eager to use the talents that you've given us for your glory, in the ways that you want us to use them, and for the good of others. And if we don't know what those talents are, help us to trust that you have indeed given us that. Your word made that very clear as we looked at this morning. And please, I pray, Father, reveal to each one that's here what their talent is and how you want them to use it. May they seek you in that, and as you reveal that, may they be faithful in executing and implementing those talents that you have given them. And may we do all of this, Father, for your glory not for our own. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.